I'm Shan Rose. This is Straight From Rose, your front row seat to government, community, and all the in-between tea. Served, informed, not messy. So when it hits your timeline, you say it loud with your chest. You heard it straight from Rose. Thank you for tuning in to Straight From Rose podcast. I want to thank the listeners. I want to thank the subscribers. And I even want to thank the guests who continue to send questions so that we can address your concerns here on the air. Today, I have a special guest with me from the United Arts of Central Florida, Jennifer Evans. For those who may not know and be familiar with United Arts of Central Florida, tell us about your mission, who you are, and the organization in our region.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you, Commissioner Rose, for having me. And I just want to say it is so awesome that you are willing to put yourself on the ballot to be elected to serve every day as a leader in our community. It is so hard in our geopolitical environment to run for public office. And I want to thank you for doing that. As a voter, as somebody that really values public service, just thank you. I want to start with that. We all need to be grateful for the people that are leading locally. So thank you for doing that. Because it's not just 9 to 5.
Nope.
It's all the time. And I want to talk about all the time arts, because that's what I do at United Arts. We are a nonprofit. We are a local arts agency, which means that we don't make art, we make art possible.
Okay.
So we are here to, our mission is to really enrich and inspire our community by strengthening art, science, history, and culture with very intentional collaborations and strategic investments.
Okay.
So we really look at the entire ecosystem from serving individual artists.
Okay.
To nonprofit organizations, to partnering with like the city of Orlando, which you serve, and we have a great partnership we'll talk about. But we get up every day to really champion the arts and make sure that the arts thrive. But most importantly, as that's happening, making it more accessible, that really making art possible for every life in our community in different ways, whether you're a musician or an ink artist, a culinary artist, that, you know, you're working with textiles or you're at home, you know, doing needlepoint or cross stitch or anything like that, or woodworking or metalsmithing. So that's what we do at United Arts. And we've been around since 1989. And I will tell you one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
We were founded by Mayor Bill Frederick of the city of Orlando. So it was his vision in the late 80s to say, you know what? We deserve excellence in the arts, and we have to make sure that it's sustainable and that it is a priority of our community. So we started by city leadership.
Okay, I got to go check now if there's some art installations that we might have to put at Bill Frederick Park in his honor.
Yes.
Maybe that might be something worthwhile to let folks, because it's all, you know, I'm in this mantra of remembering the past and letting folks know. And so I think that might be worthwhile figuring out if we could find some space. So I have to talk to Commissioner Burns because that's his district.
I love
that. But maybe figuring out somewhere at the park, maybe where there's already a memorial, maybe including maybe an art.
Mm-hmm.
And then saying that during his leadership, he was, you know, he founded. Because, again, you know, it'll be there forever. The park isn't going anywhere.
Agree.
So I'm going to say this. I love learning something new every single day in this role. Like, I never knew that. And so that's really cool.
Yeah, very much so.
So more than $200 million has been invested in Central Florida since 1989. What does that investment look like in the communities today? And a little bit of like where you see it going.
So our funding comes from public dollars, private investment from individuals, from corporations, from foundations. We do receive a grant from the city of Orlando to function as with our mission, and we receive funding from Orange County. We don't receive funding from the state of Florida right now or the NEA, but we hope someday that will change. But so we receive funding and we raise money for the arts, and then that investment looks like how we support individual artists through grants. grants. We just announced, or will announce soon, awarding $150,000 to 30 artists to do for professional development and implement more art projects. Cool. And that has actually happened in your district. There are a number of artists from your district, and they've also done their art projects in District 5. So helping individual artists, we work with technical support. We help them write grants. We connect them to opportunities, really connect them to jobs, which we'll talk about in just a minute. And then we also invest major general operating support into nonprofits. So nonprofits, whether you're in human services or the arts, you've got to have money to pay your staff, pay for insurance, mm-hmm. pay your light bill, you know, pay your liability insurance. It's like any other business. Nonprofits have the same costs as any business. They just don't take profits and invest them in their pockets and shareholders' pockets. They have to reinvest in the mission. So every year, right now we have we just voted on a $20 million budget.
Okay.
$10 million of that comes through the collaborative campaign. So that's donors giving $10, $100, $1,000 to support 45 nonprofit arts organizations from the Science Center, a lot of the groups that are, you know, in your district, Page 15, and they get those funds from the donors. Then we have grants, which provide general operating support. And then we do community art project grants that are cross-sector partnership. So every year we invest directly into individual artists and organizations.
So you said something that I'm going to take and I'm going to pivot into another question.
Okay.
You said donors can donate as little as $10 for this work. And like when people hear that, it's like, what do you mean just $10? So I want you to share some examples of organizations that are supported by United Arts that are making a difference in District 5.
Absolutely. So I just mentioned Page 15, mm-hmm. very important youth literary arts program, helping children find their voice through their writing and they get published. You know that the Downtown Arts District and City Arts is at the heart of your district. Mm-hmm. We fund them with general operating support. They participate in the campaign. They raise money. They benefit. So let me back up. We don't just give money to these groups. We provide marketing for them. We provide capacity building. We convene and help them collaborate. So very important to remember that. It's not just the money.
Mm-hmm.
The Orange County Regional History Center, you're very familiar with that. Creative City, Immerse, Art Squared. We just participated in the Southern Fried Poetry Slam competition, that national convention. The Wells Built Museum. Huge part of, mm-hmm. of your district in the history and just an incredible cultural asset. So when you look at those, and those are the nonprofits and the organizations, but we also invest a big part in all the festivals that happen in your district. We also invest, of course, in DTO Live, which mm-hmm. we can talk about. So there are a lot of areas, but mainly those are the nonprofits. And when you said $10, we had 11,000 contributions this year, and people can give $5 or $10. Who doesn't want to live in a great arts town, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every dollar matters. So yeah, absolutely.
I actually just had a meeting with someone, and City Hall, we have art all over.
Right.
Through on every floor, there's art somewhere. And she's literally just walking through the security to get to the commissioner's office. And she's like, the art is amazing. I said, oh, you haven't seen anything yet. I was like, check out downstairs in our art gallery, mm-hmm. check out the third floor, the mayor's floor. So art really brings, I would say, happiness that folks don't realize. And, District 5 is home to many rich in culture and neighborhoods, from the Paramore community to Westlakes, Ivy Lane, downtown, Malibu, Metro West even.
Right? Mm-hmm.
People forget that. Metro West is a part of the district.
Yeah.
And I actually have a little coffee spot, a room cafe, that I hang out in. They actually do poetry there.
Yes.
So maybe it connects you if you've never been. His poetry night is really, really, it's growing. It's huge. He said that the room is packed wall to wall. And so meeting people where they are,
mm-hmm.
why is the district such a cultural hub for the city?
Well, and this is what I told you before we got started, that I was really fired up this morning. Mm-hmm. I felt so inspired about just thinking about this footprint. Mm-hmm. And what is happening here is that it's not just the destinations, but this is where art is being made. Mm-hmm. It is at the heart of our community. The makers are here. When you think about the culinary artists, when you think about the breweries, when you think about the ceramic studio mm-hmm. at the Grand Avenue, when you think about the gamers mm-hmm. that are coming out of EA mm-hmm. and the University of Central Florida, that whole, so it's not just our amazing Dr. Phillips Center and City Arts and all the things, but it's the people in this district, red tape. You know, when you mm-hmm. we think of the artist studios, when you think about what's happening with the street, with all the street art, you know, the graffiti art, mm-hmm. when you look at what's happening with the Container Gallery. So people are not just looking at art here. And back to your comment about art giving people happiness, mm-hmm. the joy of creating, the ability to communicate how you feel or what you think or how you want to inspire people through the creation of art mm-hmm. is what's happening here. And that's what I love about your district. And if we can really think of it that way, mm-hmm. that it's not just a destination. I forgot to mention, we have the Paramore self-walking guided tour mm-hmm. for arts and history that we've created with you and your team. And that's, you know, that is a way that we've invested in the district. But when you can't help, will you drive down Westmoreland? I mean, we've got the wonderful video and photographers that are there. Remind me their name, RJS, is that right? The photography and video company on Westmoreland. It doesn't matter. RTW. Thank you. Yeah. I know it started with R. Forgive me. But that's what I mean is people are making art in your district, not just observing it or listening. They're creating it. So to me, this is where the make is happening.
So
I probably can't say. What does that mean? I don't even know. You know what I mean? Where creativity is happening.
I don't know if you know, but you know, you bring up Art Cube, and shout out to Ryan at Interstruck for yeah. his Art Cube gallery. I don't know if you know, but we've got a second one unveiling soon.
I don't.
Yes. Okay. So surprise, surprise. Yeah. So it will be, we are working through the final touches. It will literally be the Paramore history. It will tell a story. Oh, wow. It'll be a live, interactive video reoccurring with talking history, talking places that. So it's really coming to life. It's funny. I really live on history. You know, the saying is you don't know where you're going if you don't know where you come mm-hmm. from. And so mm-hmm. learning different pieces, what used to be, you know, for me as the current elected, there's no magic wand I can wave to bring back the buildings and the things that were lost, but I can capture those memories. I can mm-hmm. capture those moments. And so that's what it's intentional, like when we talk art, when mm-hmm. we say, like, how do I take a community and put it on a wall? So, like, in the Westlakes community, and shout out to the Westlakes Main Street District, literally right across from Camping World, we have a mural that encapsulates that Westlakes corridor.
Yes.
Got two more coming out the pipeline. One will be at Ivanhoe Brewery on OBT, and the other one will be on South Street in OBT, right next to Orlando City Deli, across from Texas Fried Chicken. But it's intentional, like, capturing moments, right? Letting folks know, here is a community that is evolving.
Right.
And so that's what folks, like, really have to understand. Mm-hmm. All communities evolve.
Yes.
No community stays the same, even if it's the type of, even if, like, we just had a freeze snap and you got to change the type of trees that you are using.
Right.
All communities evolve. Mm-hmm. Someone may buy an old abandoned home on the street or an older home and build something brand new. And then others are like, wait, we need to do the same thing. And so, like, those things happen no matter where.
Right.
I've watched them
happen. Well, you want them to happen. If not, you're a blighted,
definitely,
you know, neighborhood that people don't want to be a part of.
I've watched that happen in College Park. I've watched that happen in Windermere, mm-hmm. where there's a piece of land or there's an older 1940 home or 1920 home that someone says, the land is more valuable, I want to build something new. And then you start seeing investors come and these developers come and they're building new. So I think that's the folks that, like, I really want people to realize, like, but what's important that the arts is doing is capturing that. Mm-hmm. being able to tell a story through a mural, being able to tell a story through a poetry session, being able to allow our kids with programs like Page 15 to be able to talk their story, to be able to learn how to express themselves. You know, music and art is not going away anytime soon, no matter how much we try to think. And so God bless
part of our human spirit.
God bless some of these AI images.
Yes.
But the natural look and feel of art is not going anywhere anytime soon. Even as we start going digital and doing digital images, someone still creates those memories. So memories will continue to be made every day through art. And it just evolves. And, you know, you brought up UCF, the FIRE program, right? Like, it evolves every single day. Right. And, it, you know, it's really important for our community, but really in District 5, where I would say some feel like there's a sense of loss. As we're evolving, there's a sense of loss. Like, you know, what used to be here is no longer here. Okay, but how do we capture those
the
memories?
Arts can do it. Just like you just like you said. And I think there's a difference. One of the things that I just really enjoy about being in Orlando and being a part of the arts and culture and history in Orlando is because when there is a very intentional public art process that speaks to the people where the public art is going to be first and says, what story do you want to tell? Mm-hmm. What do you want this mural to establish? What do you want this sculpture to say? What do you want this song to be? What do you want this video history to really say about our community? So the public art process begins with the public. And if you don't ask the people that are first part of that process, that the Bloomberg Public Art Challenge, which Home was right here in your
art
district,
pollination.
Started with that. Art pollination said, what does food insecurity mean to you? And so that process is so important, and we cannot lose that. Because to be truly honorable and authentic in our public art, it's got to do exactly what you said. It's got to inspire the future by being great art, but remind us of our history, of the beauty of the voices, of the faces, of the creativity. I mean, you and I agree so much on this, but it begins with starting with asking people in a public process, which you do very well, what it is that art means to them. What do they want that to be? And so many communities just plop art places. They order sculptures from some catalog, or they copy something they saw in another city. And we are way too unique and authentic to do that. And it is so important that we stay dedicated to that. So I'm glad you asked me that.
How does arts and cultural events benefit restaurants, small businesses, and entrepreneurs?
First of all, it brings people to places. It brings people, when you have a festival in your neighborhood, it brings people from all around into your neighborhood or to your community. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that that shoe shop was there. I didn't know that, you know, that florist was there. I didn't know that that restaurant was there. Or gosh, I'd heard the name of that, but I didn't know where it was. So that, but it also, when you have arts and culture in your community, it brings people together that maybe have never met before. And all of a sudden, it breaks down barriers. You find common interests. All of a sudden, you're dancing with somebody at a street party, and you find out that you like the same music, and then you become friends, right? Or you're standing in front of a mural, and you're agitated by it. I don't understand that. Tell me about it. And the person next to you is the artist or part of the mural, and they're like, "Well, this is what this means," right? So arts can help us celebrate our commonalities, but also in a very peaceful way. Help us understand our differences and learn from them. So it's so important. And what that happens is creates a sense of pride. So when you think about small business and communities, pride, sense of pride, why they chose to open their small business on that street, open their storefront, make the commitment to be there, is because they're proud to be there. They're like, hey, I want to be with that other small group, or this is my neighborhood, this is my hometown. And so when you think about why the arts matter, it's because it starts with pride. And if it's beautiful and it's comfortable and it's safe and other people come there, it makes a difference. But it also keeps people coming back.
Yeah.
And arts and cultural tourists, arts and cultural consumers spend money. They want to get out. They want to be together, whether they're going to a rock concert or a marching band or whatever. They stay. They hang out. They're having a good time. You know, and it's another form of community building where people will spend money.
I can agree with you. I think what comes to mind with the statement you just made, two biggest things that I've been to lately, that was that epitome of like these random people just don't know each other and just having a good time. To me, two, Creative City this year and EDC. So yeah. If you've never been to EDC, yes. Watching different cultures, ages, people from all over just come together and feel like the outside world, just like you said, the geopolitics going on, they don't exist.
Right.
In that moment, people are enjoying the art and culture in that split second, regardless of a war going on.
Yeah.
Regardless of the rent that they got to go back home and might have to pay.
Right.
It's that moment of pleasure enjoying the arts and culture together. Mm-hmm. I think, and shout out to Creative City. To me, this year was amazing in all of the partners.
Mm-hmm.
This was probably, and so I've watched Creative City from Cole Neesmith was coming into CRA. Hey, I got this idea. So I have watched it evolve from the first day he came to City Hall. So I've been, you know, with the city since 2013. So I watched him come in and selling his dream to Thomas Chapman. And that used to be my boss, like selling his dream. And I'm like, you know, and I think what is happening from my lens is the younger generation is being accepted for our creativity.
Yes.
Where some of our visions, people would never get in, like, yeah, you're crazy. But then you watch it evolve and you watch how it really does bring people together.
Yeah. Well, and what's, you know, Immerse is an example of how you inspire creativity. Mm-hmm. So Immerse is once a year, right? Gets people out to go, gosh, what am I doing? What music am I making? How am I getting involved in the arts? It's that balanced with things like DTO Live that you need every day, arts engagement to make people keep coming downtown, not just once a year for Immerse, which we love, and it brings, you know, 60 to 80,000 people. The festivals are like a blip, you know, but we've got to have that everyday excellence downtown and in neighborhoods and communities so that people feel safe, they feel welcome. And, you know, Immerse does that at a big level. And we also enjoy that creativity, and it really inspires people to be creative and to try new things.
Tell us a little bit more about DTO Live.
DTO Live was, you mentioned Cole and Thomas. Cole went to Thomas and said, you know, we can create the vibrancy that you're looking for downtown. And we ought to spend some of the money that the DDB has to do that. And Thomas reached out to myself at United Arts. Marcia Hope Goodwin, also with the city, serves on our board.
Okay.
And Thomas and Marcia and I sat down and thought about what it would look like to take the DTO action plan or the DTO master plan. What was it about the DTO master plan that we could have early wins on? And part of the master plan was to have a vibrant downtown. Well, vibrancy is every day. And we have 89 festivals, I think, downtown a year. And those are amazing. But the people who come on a Tuesday at lunch or they're just passing through one time on a Thursday don't benefit from a festival on a weekend. So we've got it. We had to look at strategies. So Thomas, with his vision and understanding the benefit of the arts to small business, and Marcia's understanding of how, you know, all of the arts group could participate. So they asked United Arts as a local arts agency to be the implementation partner.
Okay.
And then we contract with different nonprofits and artists to activate the streets on a daily basis. So 1,000, you know, arts experiences, hundreds of artists are getting paid. which is a critical part of United Arts' mission, is to make sure that artists don't do things for free. If they choose to do things for free, but they shouldn't be asked to do things for free because they are professionals. They have expertise and skills that we need, and we need to pay them just like we do our athletes, you know, and other talented people. And so we fought hard for that. So it came about. We started in 2022 planning. We launched it in June of 24 with Mayor Dyer and you and other enthusiasts. We did it with Creative City, with the Downtown Arts District. And so now we've launched our third year. The city has pivoted after the first year, you know, to different things, but they're still investing in the live music, the holiday festival with music, some public art installations, but mainly really keeping those that live music at lunchtime, and then in the evenings at social hour from 4:30 to 6:30 in critical places. Right now we're in 14 locations downtown with live music Tuesday through Friday night, for Thursday night and Friday at lunch. So it's really something.
So you said you have a current implementation, you guys are fundraising, you guys do a lot of programs. What's the next 5 years look like for United Arts in Central Florida?
I'm so glad you asked that. And I'm going to tell you why, because with your leadership and the other members of the city council, along with Orange County, we have a Canvas master cultural plan for our city and for our county. And so United Arts, as a partner within the city and the county, is very focused on making sure that we implement the goals of that Canvas cultural plan. Because, first of all, it started with community input. The plan is the will of the community, what the community wants in arts and culture, not what Jennifer Evans wants, not what Commissioner Rose wants, but what the community says they want. It sets priorities for funding and helping individual artists. It sets priorities for funding and helping organizations. It sets priorities for new facilities, for community art centers, for artist studios. It sets priorities for arts education and workforce development, and making sure that we have workforce skills for the creative industries that we talked about that are especially here in District 5. So we are a partner in advancing the Canvas cultural plan. And our strategic goals are to continue to build United Arts' capacity to do what we're talking about, to strengthen the arts and cultural sector so that we can respond to the emerging community that people, the young generations, the adult generation, the older generations like myself, that I can say, and making sure that we're relevant, that we're responsive, we take care of the past, but we really look at the future, and then cross-sector partnerships. So, you know, we've talked about the economy and how the arts help the economy. There are over 400 creative industry companies, like for-profit companies, in Central Florida. There are so many interventions for arts and health. Mm-hmm. So we are launching a social prescribing program with our healthcare systems, with mental health counselors, and that's a critical piece of this, is really helping people improve their wellness through arts and arts therapy. And also, of course, we've always been in arts education. So youth development, helping our children, you know, with their mental health and behavioral health through arts, but also those job skills, which I just mentioned. So we really look at how do the arts be a catalyst for really serious community issues. You know, early childhood learning is a crisis. We've got more children who are not prepared for kindergarten every day. I think it's 51%. So half of our children are not prepared for kindergarten. So we work in that pre-K arts learning area. 4 out of the 5 kindergarten readiness indicators can be taught and learned through the arts when they're little children. So the arts are not only for entertainment. We love the joy. You talked about happiness. It is such a deeper opportunity for really addressing serious issues in our community. So we're going to be really looking at cross-sector partnerships and how we can be a catalyst for good.
Okay. If you could leave listeners with one message about the value of the arts, what would it be?
So first of all, I think everybody has an art story. Everyone's creative. And when you really stop and think, what is my art story? Whether you're in a choir or you like to draw or you like to woodwork or you like to drum on the table, everybody has a creative spirit and a creative part of them. And my hope is that they know that they live in a community where they have access to incredible creative processes for learning your own, discovering your own. If you're a listener and you're like, wait a minute, I wonder what my creative ability is. There are so many opportunities. And if they will just go to artsinorlando.com, they can search. There are so many ways to get involved in the arts. First, to just enjoy the arts. We just talked about your district, but our region is just bursting with creativity and opportunities. But if you want to discover your own creativity, whatever your age is, then look at artsinorlando.com. The city has amazing, at the Grand Center has incredible, you know, opportunities for being creative. We have a lot of senior centers that have opportunities to be creative. But just seek, call your office. You can connect us, you know, your listeners to us, to United Arts. You can go to our website. If you're an artist or a nonprofit and you're looking for ways to learn how to get engaged at United Arts, we invite you. We have a monthly newsletter just for nonprofits about opportunities for grant funding, not just at United Arts, but all over the country. South Arts just launched a grant program for individual artists in Florida. So we know how to connect people to creative processes, and I hope people will do that. But also just find time to be creative. Whether you like to color, you know, find some time to do that, because for all of us, it's a troubling time.
It is.
It is a troubling time. And I think that if we can all stop and just take 20 minutes, put our phones down and whistle or sing or color or draw or be outside, my hope is that that will start calming people in their own way, in a peaceful way, and then to seek others' creativity and celebrate it.
And I think that's the most positive note I think we've probably ended on a show in a while. But no, I want to thank you for spending time with me today, but more importantly, your commitment to the community. Arts and culture is a piece of it, but your leadership allows individuals to find themselves, gives people, like I said earlier, that moment of happiness. But more importantly, it allows the entire economy, from the people, the businesses, to the artists, to be able to enjoy our community, be able to see what's there, but more importantly, to get outside. And I think that's the piece that we miss, right? We're so stuck behind a computer, a phone, in the office, you know. So I want to thank you for your commitment to arts and culture, not just in District 5, not just in the city of Orlando. What you may not realize is a global impact, because people who come here and experience some of the festivals and the arts and culture that you put on go home to talk about it. And they may not know that it was United Arts, but knowing that they came for a moment of happiness and they had a moment of joy outside of the world that we're going through is, I mean, you can't put a price on it. So it's priceless. So I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for being here. Tell the listeners one more time how to find United Arts.
Artsinorlando.com is our calendar and events, and then UnitedArtsCFL.org.
All right. You guys heard it here from Jennifer. Thank you for listening to Straight From Rose podcast. Until next time, continue to listen in, tune in, subscribe, and send in your questions. Thank you for listening.